Good evening. I welcome everyone in attendance virtually and in person to the Monday, September 14th, 2020 regularly scheduled Gibraltar Area School Board meeting. We began this meeting this evening at 6 o'clock and moved into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin statutes that allowed us to do so for the discussion of employment promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation. We took care of that agenda item and then reopened appropriately into open session, and we are about to begin our meeting with item number 3 on our agenda. So I will begin this meeting and ask board members to join in to approve the minutes. Is there a motion to do so?
I have one correction to make on the minutes. Sorry, while I pull that up here, I thought I was ready. It was at the end for the motion to adjourn. Opposed says one instead of none. The capital N of none is missing, so we just have to add that in. And with that correction, I would make a motion to approve. Dr. Seifer, do I have to do these separately, or can I do them together?
Please do them separately. We are approving then the regular meeting of August 24th. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Sherman, a second by Weborg, to approve the minutes of the as amended, the minutes of the regular board meeting of August 24th. Any other discussion of that meeting? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Those minutes are approved. Mrs. Sherman.
I make a motion to approve the special board meeting minutes from August 31st.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion by Sherman, a second by Bremer, to approve the minutes of the special board meeting of August 31st. Are there any questions about this motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The minutes are approved. In communication, since our last board meeting, recognizing that there was an intervening week, thank you very much to the calendar, we received mail from Jamie Christensen and Becky Rarica. Those were received and forwarded to board members. Did a board member or administration receive any other communications since our last regularly scheduled meeting? Very good. We will, as always, acknowledge the receipt, but we will not make comment at our meeting regarding that communication. Our fourth agenda item this evening is the open discussion. I would remind and read this to our audience. In open discussion, after we have heard from board members and the administration, in open discussion, the board will hear from the audience. Each contributor must clearly identify themselves with a first and last name. We will provide adequate time for audience members to submit their questions and comments. In the order they are received, the president will read the name of the submitter and the question or comment. The reading of the submission is board acknowledgement of the audience member's contribution to open discussion. Board members are admonished by statute from engaging in a virtual conversation with audience members. Board members, are there any items you wish to share in open discussion this evening?
I do. I would like to put on my second hat as a parent momentarily and thank all of our school staff. The first 5 days of school, I am just in complete awe of the creativity that I am seeing in my children's classroom, that I'm hearing from other families in their students' classrooms, the busing system, the lunches coming home, everything that our school is being done and it's all different. It's all new. And I'm just so grateful to all of our staff members for all of the work, the efforts, and the out-of-the-box thinking that they're all doing to make this happen. This is, it's amazing to watch from the outside, to see it from the parents' perspective, to watch my young students feel it, and to see the difference between the start of this school year and the start of school year last year. And it's exciting and it's fun. It's not without challenges and technical difficulties, and kindergartners on Zoom is utterly hilarious. But you know, in 5 days, we have come a long way. We will continue to move forward. And I just applaud everyone. It is absolutely tremendous. And you all deserve high amount of accolades for all of the efforts that you're putting in. And I really appreciate everything. And I hope that as a community, our community will remember the challenges that we're facing at this time. They'll remember that we're in the midst of a pandemic, and that we are doing everything we can to not only provide education to our kids, but safety to our kids, mental health services to our kids, all of the things that we want to give them to make sure that they are well-rounded individuals. We are working hard to do, and I hope that the community will bear with us in some moments when we have to revamp a little bit and get things moving along the right path, or when we're successful, that we remember to thank those who are providing those things for us, and that we will all continue to work as a community. Our COVID numbers right now are jumping, not only in our county, but in our state. We are in the top 10 states for COVID-19 infection rates. We have 7 of the top 20 cities of increasing and high infections rates. And we have to work collaboratively, not only within our district community, but our county community within our state. And we all have to be working together to get through this as best that we all can. So thank you again to everyone who is doing all these parts. There's just so many wheels working, and I am truly appreciative.
I'm going to piggyback on to Angela there. I had prepared a few notes here. This is uncharted territory we're living in. The political atmosphere, and then the pandemic on top of that, has put all of us in an uneasy situation, and many are on edge, including my own. And it's understandable. In my lifetime of 68 years, I have never witnessed a feeling like we are going through right now.
Thank you.
My time living on the water has taught me that during the storms of water, the way to survive is to stay calm. So when it comes to conversations and social media, I encourage everyone to try and remain calm and cordial to each other. Witnessing some things on community page, I felt horrible for our teachers. And having 3 teachers in my immediate family, I have heard firsthand the extra time it has taken to try and reach all the students and the frustrations that go along with all of that. And so with that being said, I want to thank all our staff and an administration for doing an outstanding job. I know you all have been going above and beyond your normal routine in teaching kids. I have heard from many parents that are amazed at how much time and effort the teachers are putting into this and how well it is going. And I know some may be having some difficulties, but with all the things that had to go on, it is truly a great beginning. From our tech person to our administration to our janitors and bus drivers and teaching staff, you are to be commended. and I want to thank each and every one of you. And we're proud of you.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman and Mr. Weborg. I think that every board member, each board member, will nod, shake their head up and down, saying, everything you've said, we would want to say. There is an exceptional amount of work that's taking place on behalf of teaching and learning in our school. As we make comparisons with other schools, as everyone makes comparisons these days, the Gibraltar schools are doing a tremendous job. And we appreciate the work that everyone is doing on behalf of the children. Is there any other open discussion from board members this evening? Hearing none, we will open now to open discussion from audience. The board will hear I will read the comments that are made in the chat line in the order in which they are made, as long as there's a name of the author. I will begin with Mrs. Olson, Susan Olson, who writes, I'm sorry if this has already been brought up, but it's difficult to hear tonight. Everything is very echoey. Thank you for that. We've been addressing some of our sound problems. It seems that every meeting is a kind of a new hookup of our technology to create sound, and I think we have it under control at this point. She writes, our current threshold plan states that if our numbers are below 28 on Wednesday the 16th, on each Wednesday, that face-to-face school can resume for those that would like to send their children on the following day, Thursday the 17th. I have heard from several community members, and I feel the same. It would be better to allow face-to-face to begin on the following Monday rather than the next immediate day. It allows families as well as teachers to prepare for this change in routine. Thank you, Mrs. Olson. All other comments are related to fixing the sound. Thank you, Mr. Moore. Lynn Herman writes, she says thank you to Mr. Weborg for his statement on the board's pride in the teacher and staff's work. It is well warranted. I pause to see if there are any other chats that come in. Seeing none, I will remind the audience that you have an opportunity to provide a comment or a question on each of the agenda items later in this agenda. Again, when you want to make a question in the chat line, please identify yourself and your comment or question will be read appropriately. We now move to committee reports, item number 6 on our agenda. We had one committee which met since our last meeting, that is financial planning. I will call upon Mr. Helm, the chair of that committee.
Thank you. The Financial Planning Committee met on Tuesday, September 1st. The sole topic of the meeting was discussion of potential salary increases for the teaching, support administrative, and confidential staff for the 2020-21 school year. And we'll be making a recommendation later on in tonight's agenda regarding that matter.
Thank you, Mr. Helm. Does any other committee member wish to add comments to that meeting's record? Hearing none, that is our committee report for the evening. Are there any questions? There are none. Thank you. We move to hear an update, item number 7, hear update on school reopening.
Thank you. I am going to take just a minute to share our screen so we can have Dr. Mettner, can you pull up the slides that we have? And then I believe, Mr. Annan, I need to share screen with you on the public side so that you can share it with the public as we're going through it. This is a pretty brief report. It really is just an update on how have things been going. What's going well? What are some challenges we're having and what are we working on? You will see a full report. You'll see a full report at the annual meeting, which we are also looking to include costs to some of the things that we have been doing. to prepare for in-person learning here at the school. So to begin the presentation, I want to talk to you about two special programs that we have. And I would like to thank the board again for all of your support with every resource, whether it's a human resource, supplies, whatever we need, you have been here for us to help, to say yes, to allow us to get to this place that we're at. And so I'm very thankful for your support. And thank you again for your encouragement and kind words to our staff. This has been for them a challenging few weeks, getting ready for coming back to school remotely and then the next step, coming back to in-person. But the staff has really stepped up to the plate, as you've heard from board members speaking about what's been happening, and I'm just thrilled. I'm trying to stay out of the classrooms at this point to let our teachers do their teaching, but as I walk down the hallways and I'm able to look in and watch what's happening, it just amazes me how our staff has really had a steep learning curve trying to figure out how to work all of this technology to make learning happen in the moment live with their students. And to see our kids interacting with their teachers through virtual learning is amazing. And our teachers are very animated. I know that I will say Liz Thomas is telling you it's not, you know, kids should be active and they should be hands-on. And we know all those things are true, but we're challenged with this virus and putting together a learning program that still has them moving and active. And she's doing a great job. I was watching her being animated in front of the camera, really excited to be with her students. And that's just the kind of thing that we want to see. And that's what's happening all over. I also have to give our support staff a huge thumbs up for many things, but for being part of those classrooms. They are Zooming in with their students that they're supporting. They're engaging with those students. They're watching to make sure the kids are there, to make sure they're participating, and then following up to support them. It's just an amazing thing that's been happening. So I'm so thankful to all of your work. A couple things that I want to really talk about before I turn this over to Mr. Mulring. Two big projects that we're working on. First is the backpack exchange. And then the second thing I want to talk about is food, the food lunch program. The purpose of our backpack exchange, the reason we're doing this, is to make sure that all of our students have access to classroom materials when they're at home learning, whether it's books and analog materials from their teachers that they need in order to help support what's happening in the classroom, or the next step that I hope to be seeing is when we see there are families that have no access to internet, that we're able to tape record our teachers teaching their mini lessons, and we're able to send those recordings home through the backpack program so that even students without internet will be able to watch their teachers teach. It's not the same thing as participating in Zoom with them, but it's about as close as we can get. So I'm really excited about that second step. We're not quite there yet, but we're working towards that. Who benefits from this backpack program? It really goes beyond just our students that don't have internet access. That's one. But all students, when the campus is closed like it is now and we're under remote learning, all students are benefiting from this program. Whether we need to send home something through the district, some kind of informational mailing through our district. We did start doing our food orders on paper, but we're moving to online now. But that was something that we used the backpack program for. Or whether it's just our teachers sending home materials to each student that supports what's happening in the classroom. Those are things that are so important to all students. And we've set up the program. We've challenged ourselves to practice this program over this last week to include all students so that we know what are the bus routes going to look like when every single student's going to get a backpack. Because when we can conquer that, then it's much, much easier to start breaking it down into students who are going to stay at home and students who will be coming in school. So we've gone large with how we rolled this out, and then we're able to scale it back. But we always have a backpack for every single student in our school, and that opportunity is there for everyone. So this is for students whose parents have the choice to stay home. They decide to keep their children at home learning, and the campus is open, but they will still receive their backpack with materials they need. And not just materials coming from the teacher, but also materials coming from home, whether it's finishing up homework and resending it back to the teacher, exchanging books, sending in a lunch payment. I think we had a driver's ed fee that was sent in a backpack today. So it's just really helping with that everyday operations of our school. I've already talked about this is for students who are at home and do not have reliable internet access. We are working right now to find out who those students are. And as we're honing in on the families, and even if our hotspots aren't working for them, they will still have that backpack program. And hopefully, eventually, we will be having tape recordings of teacher mini lessons so those students and their families can work on that as well. And then this goes beyond just the pandemic. A lot of things that we're doing, we're trying to think beyond this virus, trying to think about how can we improve educational services for all children beyond the pandemic. And this last bullet kind of hints at that. We now have a new way of helping our students who might not be able to come to school because of illness or accidents or vacations, whatever the reason is, we are now giving them an ability to access our school and our classrooms live. So, as well as being able to have the backpack materials they need to support their education. So that's what the program is all about. And before you go to the next slide, Dr. Mettner, I want to talk a little bit, and I'm probably going to overwhelm the board with more than you need to know, but I want you to understand, you know, we put together a program that sounds really great on paper, and it is, but there's a lot of logistics that go into making something like this come together. And I first want to just commend all the bus drivers, every one of them, Rob Rarica, all of our support staff. This was a huge undertaking. If you think about it, we have over 540 backpacks to deliver to students, and they were able to do that successfully twice where they were delivering to everyone, and then just being able to maintain that on a daily basis for those students who need it. They've just done an outstanding job, and whenever there was a problem that came up, they were the first ones to step up and come up with solutions, and that's what I love about my staff is they're always working to find solutions instead of just focusing on the problem. So I really, really appreciate that. Just a few challenges that we've had over this first week of working the backpack program. We had to think differently about our open enrollment out-of-district students because they don't have a regular drop. So the parents would have to drive to a location to pick up a backpack, and they had to know what day they're supposed to be there, because we don't want our parents driving and waiting for a bus and then not getting a backpack. So trying to coordinate that and make sure that if they're waiting for a bus, that there's a reason for that. Students who are under shared custody agreements and have two homes that they travel to, being able to make sure that backpack goes to the right home on the right day. Communication on how everything works. This was hard too, because you're used to being able to talk to people in person. And when you have to try to provide everything in writing and then make sure it's translated into a different language, sometimes those communications are confusing or get mixed up. And we've had some of that problem. I think at first some of our students didn't realize they were supposed to bring the backpacks or send the backpacks back, and they were all excited because they got a new backpack from the school. So we've been working through that to make sure we're continuing to improve on our communication. And I've asked the classroom teachers to make sure that they're communicating with students and parents to let them know when to expect a backpack from the classroom to come home. And just today, one of my support staff members, Logan Winker, came up with a great idea about secondary. They don't send their backpacks home every day like elementary. But then when you think about it, there could be secondary students who have things they need to get to their teachers or to the office. So possibly having those backpacks go home every Friday, every backpack in the secondary going home with a return on Monday for any materials that need to come back to the class. So those are just little pieces every day we keep adding to make this program better. What kind of things happened? Well, I had this simple vision at the beginning, and I said, I would like to see colored backpacks that match a bus color. All buses should be a certain color, and then we should have backpacks that match that color. Seemed like a simple thing. But unfortunately, when we ordered the backpack colors, they didn't all come in the number that we ordered them. So we didn't have all the colors we needed, or we didn't have enough of the colors we needed. So then we were using different colored backpacks that had to have the right bus tag color on them. And so you can imagine that that got mixed up on the first few days and there were backpacks on the wrong buses. But we're working through that, and I think we're expecting our lemon lime backpacks in the next few days, which will solve that problem completely. So happy about that. One of the other issues that we are working through is just the organization from teacher to grade level when we're transporting carts. So our aides in the elementary take the carts to the elementary teachers. Those carts are labeled by the teacher, and then at the end of the day those carts come back and you have to flip them around now, and they become a bus color, and then they organize all of the bags by colors so that it's more efficient when we load them out on the buses. So it's probably a lot more than everybody wants to know, but there's a lot that went into making that run smoothly. And you have to think too, elementary is a little bit easier to do than secondary, because secondary, they have multiple teachers each grade level. So we had to tell teachers, if you're putting something in a backpack, make sure you take it off the rack and put it in a different area so we know to take that home, and so that multiple teachers know where to look for it. So it's just a little bit more complex at the elementary. I think one thing I do want to say, well, maybe I already did that. And then on top of that, the support staff has been fantastic about problem solving. They're even coming up, they've got ribbons tied on the bags that correlate with different elementary or secondary, so you can split them right away in the morning when they get off the bus. And then they've got another ribbon that symbolizes a grade level, so we know exactly what grade level to hang it on. They're really efficient and it's running very smooth. But that's just a little tiny preview of all of the organization that it takes to make this happen, and I'm really proud of my staff. I also wanted to do a shout out to Laura Anschutz, because I just asked her to order colored backpacks. That's all I asked her to do. But she took this project on and has been working side by side with the support staff to make sure we have everything we need, working with Cindy, our elementary secretary, to make sure everything was tagged with student names, teacher names. I could go on, but they're just doing a fantastic job. So that's our backpack program. Going on to the next, and so it's getting better every day. And then we move into our school lunch program, which is another huge undertaking in itself, which also involves my support staff for the most part. I have to thank Carla and her crew. They're doing a fantastic job with our delivery program on the buses. We're getting those and out to the bus locations where they need to be. They're making those lunches efficiently. It's all running really well, so great job. When we come back to in-person learning, not only will the cooks be preparing lunches for bus transportation every day, but they will also be preparing lunch to be delivered to classrooms every day. And that in itself is a huge undertaking. We have 22 aides delivering lunches to classrooms from K to 12, and it's in a very short window of time, so they have to be pretty efficient with that. And what they do is, Carla has two warming boxes, and one warming box is in the secondary, one is in the elementary, and two milk coolers. And so each aide will have their own individual cart, and they will know how many lunches are going to the classroom that they're delivering. They'll grab the lunches, grab the milks, and head down to the classrooms. They have to do it all in one trip, and that's key, because if they don't do it in one trip, then our teachers can't be relieved for their 30-minute duty-free lunch. So we want to make sure that they're getting that prep time. So we are working really hard to figure out the best way of making that happen. Another issue, which is always true, communication is always an issue, and we have to make sure that the communication between our kitchen, our teachers, our support staff, our transportation is all, they have to all be working together to ensure the correct number of lunches go to each classroom and each bus daily. Just little things we were working on today, making sure every cart has hot pads to pull out the warm lunches. How are we going to sanitize the carts? How are we going to use the elevators effectively? What's the school lunch process going to look like in the morning? And of course the garbage can process, because we don't have one location for throwing away all the lunches now. Now we have multiple locations, so that's an undertaking too. But more importantly, we are working on finding time for our support staff to eat their lunch, because that's really important. So that's another thing we're adding. And I'm not even going to get into the breakfast program. I think I'll just start with school lunch. So that's my piece of this presentation, just talking about the two major initiatives that we are working towards accomplishing here at the school. And now I'm going to turn it over, I believe, to Mr. Mulrain, and he's going to talk to you a little bit about a campus facilities update, so you have a understanding of what we've done and where we are in the process. Mr. Mulrain?
Yeah, the school board has supported us in a number of campus and facility upgrades over this summer that continue on into the early fall here. First, I'll talk about our ionization project. All of the ionization units have been installed in the Univent systems in the classrooms. We are waiting on our ionization bars, the larger systems that will go in our larger school air handling units on the rooftop, as well in the Door Community Auditorium. Those we're waiting for them to be manufactured and delivered. Estimated delivery date is September 21st. Overall, the project is ahead of schedule. Our projected completion date is now September 30th instead of the week of October 5th through the 9th. I know that that's not a lot of time, but I'll take it. Then our no-touch faucets and drinking fountains. We have installed 36 of 38 no-touch faucets in classrooms and bathrooms. We are waiting for parts for two more. We have also completed installing six of the new drinking fountains that have the bottle fillers installed in them. And then finally, our hand sanitizers. We have installed hand sanitizers in all of our entrances and classrooms, a total of 62.
Now I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Annan and then follow up with Dr. Mettner. They're going to talk a little bit about how the elementary and secondary have been preparing for the first weeks of school. Mr. Annan?
Thank you, Ms. Van Meer. I would just like to thank the board for supporting all of the technology needs that our teachers have been utilizing to the fullest extent for the past week. It has come in, and they have taken a very fast learning curve to manage all of these new materials and this new technology, and they have really run with it. So our PD was started, I think, for the elementary back in the beginning of August when we talked about Bridges Math, and that was followed up by Orton Gillingham training, which led into our September seminar where we incorporated all of that along with technology training and social emotional training for K-5 teachers, as well as gave everyone a solid foundation in our elementary curriculum guide process that will be implemented a little bit later on this fall. What are the results of all of that work? We're becoming proficient at Zoom, using external webcams, class link, and navigating all of the sharing of screens, breakout rooms, all of these different functions of the program. We're becoming much more proficient at that, as we were more than what we were even 2 to 3 weeks ago. We have a really good understanding of the social emotional needs of all of our students and prioritizing that along with the academic needs of the students. We took a wonderfully OG training, which is a wonderful program offered by our student learning and the board for all of our K-3 teachers this summer, and we are aligning that with approved district curriculums in phonics and reading and writing. And then we have started and done some adaptations for the Bridges Math curriculum that have been provided by our curriculum, the people who wrote the curriculum, for pacing and prioritization of power standards, which is very important. Bridges Math, and I think this is something that any elementary teacher would say as well, they have really not just forgotten about what it's like to be a teacher in a pandemic after they sell us a really good curriculum to begin with, but what they have done is they have revamped their whole scope and sequence. They've told us what standards to focus on, which ones can be at least not prioritized this year, adapted the pacing guides. They've made things online and available to for schools and for kids that are at home versus in the classroom. They really did a wonderful job of providing great resources to our teachers so that they have everything that they need at their fingertips. Our technology is working really well. I'm getting positive comments from parents as well as teachers, and we're becoming more proficient each day. And then we are working on our instructional and curriculum minutes and increasing the stamina for all elementary learners, for our virtual learners, as well as our possibly in-class learners that's coming up. We are going to bring that into focus and have a good classroom or staff discussion at our staff workshop on Wednesday, September 16th.
Thank you, Mr. Annan. Dr. Mettner, would you like to talk a little bit about how the secondary's been getting ready for the first weeks of school and how things are going?
You bet. I would start with kind of just reiterating that the change we made in the secondary in the schedule led us to a large challenge in terms of prioritizing and providing instruction. And I'm so very proud of the teachers and support staff for making our 10-period rotating block work. I just think back to there was a sixth grade transition night, and hearing the teachers talk about it to the parents and students for the first time, it was just very exciting. And I feel like we're making some good progress. Of course, we did this primarily to limit person-to-person exposure throughout the day, and adding sections gave us the ability to keep class sizes small for social distancing in classrooms. I would like to formally thank the board for the opportunity to provide curriculum course guide training with Claire Wick and in collaboration with Michelle Ring Hansen from CESA 7 on August 24th through 27th. This was a introduction to this process. However, we were blown away with the progress that the teachers made in prioritizing their standards, accessing all of the new standards in many of the content areas, and beginning this large chunk of work in creating individual course guides for every class. Many got as far as multiple classes, multiple units, and their goal moving forward up to our October 9th PD day is to keep current with their unit plan design until we get to that point, and then we'll regroup and then over the course of the year complete these curriculum course guides. But this opportunity of the 24th through 27th was just a wonderful way to kickstart that, and so I'm very, very proud of the teachers. Claire Wick also provided us with some training specific to the gradual release of responsibility model. Of course, board adopted instructional delivery model, and it was ever more important this year with our change to the extended block system, and I think that was very well received. Dr. Marcy Kuhn from CESA 7 visited us to provide some specific trauma-informed care and social-emotional learning training during our September seminar, and we are actually having her back for a follow-up on October 9th. Very excited for that. We also had an art therapist, Miss Jody Rose, visited us to talk about self-care, and that was through some art therapy, which was very well received. And then finally, to talk about when we talk about the classroom experience right now, if you were to walk around the school during the day, it really focuses on these technology kits. And I can't thank the board enough on behalf of the teachers for providing us with this wonderful technology that is getting us to a synchronous classroom in a way that we never would have thought possible back in April of last year. If you walk around, you see teachers engaging. If you poke your head into the classroom and you look at the screen, you see kids there live engaging with the teacher and support staff. And it's really been a joy to watch. Some things that we're working on in the secondary, still looking to identify students who may need hotspots or are having other technology issues. I delivered a hotspot and a computer today to a student family in Egg Harbor. We're really trying to get get that honed down to identify exactly which kids are having the biggest challenges from a technology perspective. But all in all, a very positive 3 weeks. There was a lot of anticipation going into starting the school year, but I feel that the teachers and support staff have done an excellent job of taking this in stride and doing their very best to provide what I would consider a Gibraltar education to our kids. So thank you.
I think that concludes our presentation for today, and we will be bringing back more information for the annual meeting.
Thank you, Mrs. Van Meer, and our principals for your reporting on the update for the opening of school. As we observe afar, from afar, because we cannot be in the schoolhouse to see what is happening, we appreciate your story. I think we also appreciate the postings that have been made on Facebook and other social media about the uniqueness of our opening. From where I'm sitting, I'm seeing backpacks in the back hallway on the blue carts that appear to be getting ready for the next delivery. A question that I would raise, and perhaps other board members have questions they'll raise, is that in our last meeting we heard of open enrollment students coming into our district. People who are not, students who are not resident of the Gibraltar area district. Do they also participate in backpacking? And if so, how do backpacks get to them if they're not on our bus route?
Okay, so that is a rather large challenge because they're not on a bus route. If they are interested, and I know Rob Rarica is working with them individually, so if you have questions, I would ask that you contact Rob Rarica from our bus transportation director for more information. He has been working with these families individually. Some families will actually drive to a location where the backpack can be delivered. If that is not possible, we still have the backpack completed in full, and we also have some families who are driving up to the school to pick up the backpacks from the school.
Thank you. It's a very unique program. As we look around the state, it's difficult to find another school district who is providing that kind of a backpack, the material going home service that is provided here. Other board members, do you have questions or comments regarding this update report?
I just have one kind of questiony comment is part of the backpack program, as we've talked about, has talked about families without internet, but there are some families with internet who have issues with children being on the iPads, Chromebooks, laptops all day for headaches, looking at the screen, just too much screen time, those kinds of things. Are we looking at providing the activities that are being done through Seesaw to those families and paper copies outside of just, I know, so far we've gotten math curriculum books and we've gotten some other things, but I'm curious about if we're having those discussions at this point.
I would ask Mr. Annan to elaborate on that since we're talking about Seesaw. But what I would say, just in general, that I would encourage families to contact the building principals if there's something that they need specifically that we can deliver through the backpack program. We're happy to do that. But Mr. Annan, I don't know if you want to speak specifically to that. Comment?
Nope. I would say even before they contact me, I would say if they would like a specific plan, please contact the teacher. We can set that up. We are recording all of those lessons. We can put them in the hands of a parent via a thumb drive. They can view them at a later time, and they can utilize paper and pencil materials. Whatever works best for them, we can manage a system, but a teacher just needs time to set that up. They need communication from a parent that something's not quite working for them as a family, and then we can come to some sort of accommodations that we can make as a school district to help them out and have them participate fully in Gibraltar learning and curriculum.
Thank you. That goes right back to my open discussion comment of I'm just in awe at the adaptability of all of our staff. I appreciate that.
I'd like to add that this is kind of an interesting outcome, kind of fortuitous of call it unintended consequences of our long-term investment in technology that, you know, years ago when we started the laptop program for high schoolers and then extended it throughout the grades, all of that has brought us to this point to be able to do this with at-home instruction or in-school instruction and at-home learning, I guess. It's an outcome of multiple years. We could never have done this if we had suddenly turned the spigot on technology a year or two ago. We'd have never had the infrastructure to do this. And to use one of the terms that Steve is fond of using, is the always taking the high ground on our technology investments has led us to this point. So.
And a big thank you to Dr. Seifer, who was school board president at that time, as well as the board that helped support that vision. Just having that vision way back when, not knowing where we would be today. So congratulations to you and all your efforts for that. Because you're right, we wouldn't be where we are right now in this moment had it not been for the planning that took place way before our time. So thank you again.
And all of that planning never envisioned a pandemic forcing us to use it this way, I can tell you that.
Any other comments from board members or questions? While I pause, are there any chats that the audience would like to have read in at this time? There are none. We will then move on to the next agenda item, which is item number 8, discuss and take possible action on fall extracurricular clubs, activities, field trips, and events.
Yes, as part of our threshold plan, we need to bring these discussion items to the board for your approval. And so I have Peggy Tank here tonight to talk to you about a recommendation regarding middle school sports for the fall season. And then Dr. Mettner will take over after that to talk a little bit about fall extracurricular clubs, activities, field trips, events, etc. And then we'll open it up to board discussion and potential action on those items. Mrs. Tank, would you like to start?
Yes, thank you so much. Right now, my proposal is to wait until October 8th. We do have a meeting with the ADs and commissioner for the middle school ADs, discussing how middle school athletics are going on now, as well as in the spring. Gibraltar at this time has the only cross country going forward, but with the pandemic and the coaches' recommendation, she would prefer not to be in middle school and just focus on high school, and we can transition that into rugby. There are other few sports that I'd like to take into consideration as well is middle school football. Many schools are going their high school sports season, so they have postponed the fall to the spring. Then that's where the majority of the middle school sports would be playing. So the schools are moving fall volleyball and their football to the spring. And like I said, they're piggybacking off of what the high school has started or looked at for their fall season. So I would like to try and make sure our students have the opportunity to participate in the spring season as moving forward. Also at our October 8th meeting, we will be discussing our middle school boys basketball program and if we will try to be moving forward on playing at the end of October. So I'd like to reach out to our two middle school basketball coaches to see their concerns or questions on that as well. With that, seeing how we have decided to postpone the both middle school volleyball or possible with the boys basketball, our commissioner will be proposing a schedule for both to play at the end of February and into March. I would also like to ask the board at this time if they have any guidance that they might have moving forward with our middle school volleyball, as well as our other fall sports. And hopefully we can make it all work. So that's my recommendation.
Peggy, as part of that discussion, are they discussing shortened seasons where you would have only a few competitions, both in middle school and in high school? If they're shifting everything to the spring, it looks like there's going to be a huge log jam of overlapping sports and quite a...
Yeah, and it depends how many schools will be participating, because right now, out of the six middle school conference schools, three are participating at this moment. If they compete, however that works, the others and some that will not participate in middle school sports at all. So, and then some have moved to spring. So there's a variety of how everybody is working on this. So it depends, you know, how we end up having the schools and the numbers for competition moving forward with the spring. So we could have, you know, back play schools twice, home and away. There are so many variables on how to try to make it work. At this time, I'm not sure, because like I said, you know, he was going to work on some proposals for schedules with the schools that would be moving to spring.
Has there been, in the high school, in the Pac-Land Conference, has there been any competitions within the conference so far?
Right now, no, because it's too early yet for the first competition date. It should be, I think, tomorrow or the next day volleyball. And right now, with not knowing where the numbers are with the high, things could be postponed. So, and then move to a different date.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy, I'm sorry, you kind of cut out. Which sport were you saying that would run February to March?
It would be middle school girls volleyball as well as basketball, boys basketball. That will be in discussion on October 8th of how to move forward with that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments for Mrs. Tank? In your conversation, Mrs. Tank, I heard you make a reference to several different movements, one of which is wait until October 8th, one of which is things may move till a late winter, one of which was, or another of which was, things could move from fall to spring. I'm not hearing that there's a recommendation for board action this evening on middle school sports, and would anticipate then a more clear recommendation that might come after your October 8th meeting. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. I'm understanding this agenda item is partitioned between Mrs. Tank for middle school sports and Dr. Mettner for recommendations on clubs, activities, trips, and events.
Thank you, Dr. Seifer. Thank you, Mrs. Tank. I surveyed our advisors and leaders of other clubs and activities in the secondary and got quite a good response rate. A lot of the clubs, other grade level activities, the advisors are very excited to attempt safe virtual activities, possibly in school socially distanced activities, much reflect what goes on in the classroom. There are a few notable exceptions I'd like to point out before I make my actual recommendation, just so that we can have that on the record. Like I say, most teams, clubs are looking essentially to provide in-house virtual activities, not looking to travel or anything of that nature. The high school musical, Mrs. Thomas reports, that it would be very difficult to do a musical virtually. However, she may have a proposal for small-scale musical vignettes and small cast rehearsals with limited actors. I will come back to the board in this prior to the start of the potential start of a high school musical season with a recommendation along with Mrs. Thomas at that time. Activities like Project 180, DECA, they're really looking at virtual conferences with other schools, virtual activities, role play sessions, so on and so forth. The high school forensics team has not gotten guidance yet. However, they will likely be the same as the one act competition for Mrs. Thomas that will go fully virtual. And so in theory, virtually, we could hold those teams and participate in the competitions or performances. Middle school practices or middle school forensics practices could also be held in that same same way. And it looks like a digital tournament is possible and on the table, but many of these things have yet to be determined. And so I would certainly come back to the board to inform you, but my recommendation, I believe, will allow us to move forward with the planning of these without needing to come back for approval. One notable exception would be the middle school play, which would normally start here in the fall. In speaking with Mrs. Tripp, she feels that it would not be possible under the current circumstances and the time commitment and facility commitment needed to move forward with the middle school play, and she asks that we forego it this year to move to next year with a another option for a middle school play. So based on this feedback from the various advisors and coaches of clubs and activities, I would recommend to the board, I've been in too many Packerland conference meetings, excuse me, I would ask the board to consider allowing 6-12 clubs and activities to hold virtual meetings and attend virtual competitions. When the school is open for in-school learning, I would recommend allowing socially distanced and masked meetings that follow the same guidelines as in-school learning. So for example, in a classroom setting, socially distant seating, masking, etc., to allow for practices and get-togethers. I would only recommend virtual competitions and travel, virtual that is, for all other activities. If the pandemic situation, of course, changes significantly, I would like the opportunity to come back to you with a new recommendation that may allow for example, inter-district travel. That was a very long recommendation. I will state it again succinctly. I recommend that we allow 6-12 clubs and activities to hold virtual meetings and attend virtual competitions. And when school is open for in-school learning, I recommend socially distanced mask meetings that follow the same guidelines as in-school learning.
Thank you, Dr. Mettner. Are there any comments or questions of this recommendation? I'd like to hear some of these or all of these prior to our turning this to audience chat.
My only comment would be that I appreciate, Dr. Mettner, your energies on speaking with all of the, as many as you can anyway, of the advisors and adults that work with these clubs. Those advisor roles can be challenging regardless and can consume time, and it's important to maintain those connections with students, and I'm proud that we're finding a way to keep those connections. So thank you for those efforts.
Thank you.
And I appreciate the advisors staying on top of it, as well as I just want to say to Mrs. Tripp, I am sorry that you cannot move forward with the play if you are out there listening tonight, because it's a wonderful thing for those middle schoolers. But I appreciate the ability to step back and say it's just not possible given the circumstances. So these are hard decisions. I'm glad I feel like we have a lot of things that can continue just in a different fashion. But there, I think there will be other things that come up where we will have to step back and say, we're sorry, but we can't do this. We have to stick with health and safety guidelines. So I appreciate those tough decisions and being able to make those recommendations.
Any other comments? The operative word appears to be appreciation, Dr. Mettner. Appreciation of the fact that even in the times of this pandemic, we're still finding some ways to keep our three other A's, athletics, activities, and arts, operative. Perhaps this is one major destination imagination project of creativity of how to do arts activities and athletics in a pandemic. Having heard Dr. Mettner's recommendation, I ask if there's a motion from board members.
Do we need to check for public comment?
There are none. I am reading them or trying to read an empty screen as I am looking back and forth.
Thank you. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
You got something that popped up here.
Having said that, Coach Bastian writes in for middle school cross country, clarifying point. Yes, I've advised Mrs. Tank that I feel it would be best to focus our resources on high school cross country this fall, considering that, in my opinion, middle school students should have adult supervision during the majority of their run, whereas high school athletes may successfully train alone with parent guardian permission. Virtual middle school cross-country practices are not feasible while virtual high school cross-country practices are able to occur. I think that concurs with what Dr. Mettner was speaking about and the dilemma that we face with cross-country. Thank you, Coach. If I pause another 10 seconds.
Linnea is speaking, but she's muted. I think she's going to... There she goes.
Would you like a motion at this time?
Please.
I so move, Dr. Mettner. Would you mind emailing Evelyn that your motion? Is that acceptable, Steve?
We're going to have to read into the record exactly what the motion is that a board member makes.
I can do that. I took some notes.
Thank you.
Okay, I would make a motion to approve the recommendation that as much as possible through virtual format, the fall extracurricular clubs activities, field trips, and events take place, and that once students are back in person, all clubs, students, and advisors follow socially distanced rules to participate.
Thank you for that motion. Before I hear a second, I would agree with Liz Thomas says, One Act currently has 15 interested students to proceed in virtual contests as per the guidelines of the WHSFA.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Is there a second to this motion?
Yeah, I'll second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Bremer, a second by Mrs. Hickey. Is there any question or comment on the motion?
Yeah, Lauren, when you say socially distanced, are you really referring to following school guidelines, which would also include masking, number of students in the classroom, and those things? I just want to make sure that we're clear. It's not just the distancing, it's all of the things that the school requires when we're open.
Thank you, yes. I mean, we can amend the socially distanced piece of that to maintaining all safety protocols.
That is what I heard in the motion. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion of this motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. Mrs. Tank, thank you very much for your participation this evening. Dr. Mettner, as always, thank you. This moves us to item number 9 of our agenda this evening. Approve the salary of teachers' confidential employees.
Yes. So the board
and administrators for 2021 employee contracts.
Sorry, there we go. So the board previously approved the contractual status of district employees at their regular meeting on February 24. Now the board will consider approving the salary of teachers, confidential employees, and administrators as part of their employment contract. And I am going to turn this over to representatives from the Financial Planning Committee to talk about their recommendation. Mr. Helm?
Yes, as stated earlier, the Financial Planning Committee to discuss the topic, and we're looking forward for a salary increase for teaching support, administrative, and confidential staff of 3% for the 2020-2021 school year.
I'm not sure if the whole board, Don, your computer or your internet's freezing a little. I don't know if another representative wants to clarify that to the board if they heard the percent.
I can try it again. Right. Okay. Yeah, for the 2021 school year, we're recommending a salary increase of 3% for all teaching support, administrative, and confidential staff.
Thank you, Mr.
Don, do you know what the official cost of living was, the increase in cost of living was for last year?
CPI, I think, came out as 2.3.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Mike, 2.3 was the CPI number we had been talking about back at the end of last school year when we first began these discussions. It was my understanding at the last Financial Planning Committee meeting that we're still around that area. Arba will give me a look if I'm completely off base, but I believe that's where we were at. Part of our recommendation for the 3% is number one, to make sure we've covered the cost of living increases, as that is one thing that we, as a school district, have tried to do well over the years. But then we wanted to go above and beyond that, just as our staff is currently going above and beyond what a typical school year looks like. This is a year like no other, and they are rising to I can see in just this start of the school year, they are rising to the challenge and the occasion and the need. And so we wanted to recommend a percentage increase that would reflect the gratitude and appreciation that we have continued to discuss this evening of our staff, and to tell them that we know we are asking a lot, and that we value them, and we value what they are, what they have started doing at this point, and what they will continue to do throughout this year.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. I would add, as a committee member also, that the committee did its fiduciary responsibility of looking at other options of percentages by which the employee compensations could be increased. It looked at the issue that we have salary and benefits, and that benefits are outside of that salary increase. It looked at how do we in the long term pay for an increase of salary. Do we have the resources to pay for a 3% or a 2.8 or a 2.5? We had to examine the facts of what are our financial resources for making such a significant increase, as we compare it with what other school districts will be doing across the state. We were cognizant of the fact that the state has said that all school districts should be considering not increasing their expenditures this year, but really decreasing, because the pandemic will decrease state revenues, and most school districts are incumbent upon state revenues for their school finances. We remain somewhat unique. We look at financially all of the other expenses that the district is incurring as we are gearing up for technology and all aspects of serving teaching and learning in the pandemic. That said, it was still the wisdom of the committee to make a recommendation of 3%. Because as we make all of these appreciative statements about what folks are doing, 3% is a significant raise. It says that the school board is financially appreciative, not just in words, but in the compensation package. And we know that money is given in 1 year have implications for every year thereafter. But I think the committee did its diligence and a discussion of the financial planning that goes into making a recommendation for a salary increase. We also recognize, lastly, that this is the kind of conversation that would have taken place in the spring of 2020. But due to the pandemic and due to the change of circumstances and all of the unknowns, the school board postponed this decision until this school year. It does say that there will be a back pay in which contracts that began well before the start of the school year will be made whole for all employees.
Do we know, whoever, Tina or Arba, what the cost increase of the health is going to be this year?
Oh, you see that? Zero. Oh, Arba, can you unmute yourself?
Mark, we had no increase in our health insurance this year. It held steady for this year.
It did? Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the cost for the health care this year was around $120,000, if I believe that's correct.
The increase?
No, the total cost was just under $120,000 for the year.
Okay. But that's same as last year.
Right. Same. The health is the same as last year.
Correct.
Mark, if you remember, when we approved the contract for the health insurance, there was a couple of years that were guaranteed no rate increase.
Five.
It was a five-year contract. Were all five no increase? Oh, I'm getting it. Okay.
Well,
I thought it was the first several, and we had a couple bumps at the end. But
I think there are a couple bumps in the last two, but they're small.
Okay.
That's what I thought. I thought in the last 2 years there are some small bumps, but nothing significant.
We have to meet our health matrix. So, and we did meet it last year. So yes. I assume we're going to keep meeting it.
Well, thank you, staff, for meeting your health matrix.
Don, you said $150,000. Didn't you mean $1,000,001?
No, I thought it was just under 120,000.
Arba, was that a calculation for new staff? Not a total calculation of our entire insurance costs?
No, if we're talking about that schedule for the salaries, that was salaries only, that last one we looked at.
The health insurance
didn't increase last year, so there was no difference.
What was the bill last year?
I think where you were, Mike, is probably more accurate as far as the end of the
total,
year.
Total bill for all employees.
Yeah, yes. But same as the previous year.
But the question was,
last year?
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. So the question was, what was the increase for this year for health insurance? And the answer is zero.
Right,
for health insurance.
Just to be clear.
Thank you for the conversation. We have a recommendation from the Financial Planning Committee. Is there a motion relative to... I'm not seeing any chat at this time. Other than a question, was that 3%? But I think we have announced 333 enough that it has been answered.
Then I will make a motion to increase the salary of teachers, confidential employees, and administrators for the 2021 employment contracts by 3%. Do I need to note in that motion, Dr. Cipher, that we will be back paying them for what they've worked already within that contract, or does saying the contract year cover that?
Ask is answered.
Thank you.
You just answered it. Yes, because you are increasing it to the contract holds.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Sherman, a second by Mr. Piatt, to approve salary of teacher confidential employees and administrators for the 2021 employment contracts to be increased by 3%. Any questions or discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The motion passes.
I want to thank the board for your continued support. Thank you. So,
item number 10 on our agenda this evening is to approve hourly wage support for the hourly wage of support staff for the 2021 employment contract.
So we do have a separate item for our support staff as they are hourly employees. As I stated before, their contracts, their status was already approved on February 24th, but now the board is considering what approving an hourly wage for the staff for their contracts for this year.
Unless we feel further discussion is warranted, I feel like all the same reasons apply and I'd be ready to make a motion. I make a motion to increase the hourly wage of support staff for the 2020-2021 employment contracts by 3%.
I'll second that.
We blew right past asking Mr. Helm if the committee had a recommendation for him. I'm seeing a smile on his face, and if he nods, I'll believe that this was following the committee's recommendation.
Yes, the 3% was following the committee's recommendation for the wages approval for the hourly support staff. So.
Thank you. I wanted to acknowledge the fact that the Financial Planning Committee also discussed this wage increase and had a recommendation. Now I'm into memory. We have a motion by Mrs. Sherman and a second by Mr. Piatt, if I heard correctly, to approve the hourly wage of support staff for 2021 employment contracts to be increased by 3%. Is there any question or discussion of this motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you to the Financial Planning Committee for these two recommendations. We will move to the item number 11 to approve substitute pay rate.
Thank you. So I am looking for the board to approve substitute pay rates for the 2021 school year. I'm removing my mask because I'm having a great deal of difficulty with my glasses and I can't see the material, so pardon me while I readjust here. As you know, this pandemic has really given us a lot of challenges, and one of the specific challenges that we face is making sure that we have substitutes to fill in when we need them. Should we need to quarantine classrooms, quarantine certain employees, whether they're cooks, whether they're bus drivers, whether they're maintenance personnel, it's going to require us to be able to fill those positions with substitutes. I was looking and hoping that we could make some increases to these pay rates in a way that would make us competitive and give us a good chance at trying to maintain our sub pool or trying to gain more in our sub pool. I'm just going to go through some comparisons and then a general recommendation. The board can do, of course, whatever they would like, but I thought I'd give you at least a general talking point to start with, and then you can go from there. For substitute teachers, I will say we are pretty competitive in the Door-Kewaunee area. When I look at all the rates, almost all the schools are at $120 a day for a substitute teacher. We do have one school, I won't mention, that is above that at $125, My recommendation would be that we at least lift ours from 120 to 125 to start with, and then go to 130 after 20 days. We do that on our regular certified teacher subs. They have currently the first day to the 19th day, they receive $120. And from day 20 on, they receive $125. And if they are a long-term sub, they receive a teacher-based salary per diem amount, which right now is $229.60, but that will change based on the increase that we just made. So again, my recommendation for substitute teachers would be to move at least from 120 to 125 for days 1 through 19, and then to 130 for days 20 plus. I don't know, Dr. Seifer, if you want to do these individually or if you have another idea in mind.
Would you please, so we get the totality, we'll disaggregate it.
Okay, sure. Having said that, I also look at our certified and non-certified aides and look at the work that they do with our students. And I can tell you, I've been watching some of the aides working online with some of our most struggling students, and I'm pretty impressed with the amount of support that they're getting. And that's due to the fact that the board supported hiring more aides so we can assign them by grade level, which allows us to give more attention to the students that need it. So it's working phenomenally. But I have to say, I'm looking at across the board where our aides and non-certified aides at in other schools. And for the most part, I think we're somewhat competitive, but I would like to see us maybe round up. My recommendation would be to round up to the nearest dollar for our certified aide and our non-certified aides. When I looked at the day rate hourly, that would be rounding to $15 a day for aides, for teacher certified aides, $15 an hour, not a day, sorry, $15 an hour, which would be approximately $120 a day, which is what we pay our subs right now. And please remember that teacher certified aides can fill in the classroom as subs. The other thing would be our non-certified aides, and I would recommend rounding them to $14.50 an hour, which equals $116 a day. They're at $111. Again, we put a lot of expectations on our aides, and I'm hoping that we can compensate them for that. Looking at our maintenance and kitchen staff, those two positions have not been updated in several years. And as I'm comparing around the area, we are low for the area. I would say that one school is a lot higher than us, which is a local school, but that's quite a jump. One school is kind of an outlier that doesn't fit with the general norm. And then we have the others that are more in line but lower than what we have. My recommendation would be that we round up maintenance staff to $14 an hour. They're at $13.55 now. And that we round up our kitchen staff to $14 an hour as well. I think that the work that they do is comparable, and my feeling should be that those positions earn the same hourly wage. I don't have a recommendation at this time for secretaries and bus drivers. I would leave that up to the board to take a look at. I would say that I didn't have comparable data, as much comparable data for our secretaries. But I would leave that to the board to continue discussion on. That was a lot. I hope somebody took notes. I do still have it written down if you want my recommendations again.
Well, Tina, could you please repeat for me what the certified aid recommendations were? That was the only
I didn't do, you're right. I didn't do the 120 days, but hopefully we could come up with something that would make sense there, because they have the 1 through 19 day and then the change to the 20 plus days, similar to a substitute teacher. I bumped them up to $120 a day, similar to a substitute, and to what we currently pay a substitute. And my reason for saying that is they can perform those duties if they're a teacher certified aide. And we probably will be asking them if we have to in an emergency.
Tina, how long has it been since we adjusted our substitute teacher pay? Do you know?
I'm going to ask Arba if she remembers. It hasn't been that long ago. Are we talking a couple years, maybe?
Maybe 2 years. We watch this pretty closely. It hasn't been that long.
And just ran a couple numbers while we were talking here, and it almost seems like if you take the substitute teacher pay from 120 to 125 or thereabouts, it's a 4.5% increase for substitutes. And because we haven't done it for a couple of years, that makes some sense. Would it make sense to just apply that 4.5 or 5% across the board and adjust all of our substitute pay rates?
That's up to the board to talk about. Like I said, I just wanted to give you a starting point and let you take off from there.
I mean, that looks like when I do a little rounding here, and you can make numbers do whatever you want, but that we're in that vicinity. That might just make the math a little easier.
How long was maintenance and kitchen increased? How long has it been?
I just have a note from the business office that it says it has been several years. I don't have the exact number of years. Sorry.
I'm looking at those numbers.
Arba knows.
We're really not up to where the demand is in our area. I would think we should go to $15 an hour on those two.
Tina?
I want the board to consider, too. The only thing that makes me a little nervous about that is taking a look at your aides that are in the classrooms, and the fact that those aides can substitute and teach kids, and we're looking at...
Tina?
Yes?
I just wanted to mention this because Laura just called me in about this. She does the payroll all the time, and she said that to make it clear that each of these sub-rates are, regardless of the qualifications of the person doing the subbing, rate is paid based on what position they're subbing for.
Right. We don't have a seniority for it for
right.
those positions.
And I guess she was talking about that because some of the certifications. She just asked me to relay that to you.
Right. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to overthink this, but I'm just wondering if it would be prudent to send this to Financial Planning Committee so that we could come back and make a recommendation to the board regarding this. Seems like there's a lot of unknowns and variables here that I think we could hammer out at that level and then come forward with a recommendation to the board that's been well thought out to bring it up to that level. And we've done it with our contracts for the teachers. The activities committee has done the same thing with the extracurricular activities. So I'm just wondering if they would be prudent to do that as well at the committee level, then to make the recommendation to the board.
I kind of like that idea, Don.
Mr. Helm, did I hear you make a motion? Did you move to table this until the September 28th board meeting?
I would make that a motion, yes.
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Mr. Helm, a second by Mr. Piatt, to table this agenda item.
That takes a roll call.
Substitute pay rates until the September 28th board meeting. Is there any discussion of that motion? Thank you.
I agree. I think that's a good observation, Don. I think we will spend a lot of time doing nitty-gritty details that we don't need to be spending that much time on this evening.
We will roll call a vote to table, alphabetically, please.
Bremer, aye.
Helm, aye.
Hickey, aye.
Yeah, aye.
Lampert, aye.
Sherman, aye.
Weaver, aye.
Thank you very much. This agenda item has been tabled. We will review the Financial Planning Committee. Mr. Helm will meet then sometime between now and the 28th to do the thorough investigation that you've indicated. And we'll look for an agenda item then on the 28th to make an approval of substitute pay rates for the 2021 contract year.
Thank you.
Item number 12 on our agenda is to approve amendments to the extracurricular pay schedule.
Thank you. So when this came from the extracurricular committee, they made a recommendation to the board that the board did approve. And one of the primary concerns in making this pay schedule was that no one would make less money than they made the previous year in their position. And so as we approved this, if you remember as a board, we did remove longevity bonuses and postseason pay. And because of removing those, there were a few positions when we went and calculated everything out, there were a few positions that would be making less than they made the year before. So my recommendation, and this was unintended, nobody did this intentionally, my recommendation would be that we add back for 1 year the longevity bonus to the positions that are highlighted in the packet that the board has, those positions only, add the longevity bonus for 1 year, and you would get the total that you see in the highlights, and that would put them over what they had made the previous year in a consistent manner by giving them that longevity bonus. It's specifically related to their years of service for that 1 year, and then that would become their new base. Does that make sense to everyone, or do you have questions about that?
My suggestion here, and I haven't talked to Mike about this, it was suggested when we okayed this new pay scale that we would look at the non-athletic salaries.
Yeah,
that seemed to be a little out of whack, and I would recommend we bump this back to the extracurricular and look at this further along with these recommendations.
So are you going, okay.
What's the recommendation? I want some talk amongst the committee.
So you understand what we've done is all we've done is taken what the board approved.
Right.
We calculated it all out, and we recognized some discrepancies in positions that, because we took away longevity and we took away postseason, those positions would make less. So this was just a way to correct that moving forward in a consistent manner. And that's why I'm suggesting the longevity bonus, because that's specifically related to that person and their years of service in that position. And that would become their base.
Mark, I hear what you're saying, and we've agreed to take a look at those non-athletic salaries at an upcoming meeting. This is really housekeeping based on our previous spreadsheet that we got approved by the board. I don't have a problem moving forward with this and then going back and looking at the other issue of non-athletic salaries at a future extracurricular meeting.
I think the problem with that, though, and I have to agree with Mark that I think taking all of this together is the right approach, because the problem with that is you're approving, in some cases, an increase on a position that might actually warrant a different base, and that number then is going to look different with the longevity bonus potentially. Maybe not, because maybe we're going to say no, this is over what they were making anyways, but I think I have to agree with Mark. I think that it would serve us best to have the committee look at all of these pieces together and look at them as a whole and where these numbers put us and do that at one time. And I would really appreciate the community take the committee, excuse me, taking both pieces on.
Okay. I just want to be clear on one thing. I want to say that the administration has been working on those and does have a proposal that the committee can take a look at anytime they're ready to have schedule a meeting. But what you're saying to me, I just want to make sure I'm clear, because this impacts contracts right now. So I want to make sure I'm clear. Even though the board approved how we're going to do extracurricular pay, you want to take it back to the committee to re-examine the extracurricular pay for athletics. Is that my understanding?
No, not
so. We're
not
taking
athletics.
It back.
It was the non-athletic department, so we didn't feel those corresponded with the athletic pay for the time invested.
I completely understand that, and I had planned that we would have another meeting to do that. But what I brought forth to you today was extracurricular and trying to fix discrepancies we have with the schedule as it is. And if we can fix these discrepancies this one time, we will have finished that project. But you're still going to go back and take a look at those non-athletics. We have that ready to go.
And I would say, though, that you see this as one discrepancy that can finish a project, and I see this as a continued discrepancy within the schedule. If you remember, that was not a unanimous vote, and there were board members who did not agree with this pay schedule as it was presented. We wanted it reviewed at that time. So I don't think that it's, I understand what you're saying. You'd like to have some of the pieces wrapped up in this, but I have real concerns about the large discrepancies. And now when I'm looking at this, a lot of these increases are on the sports side, and they're making those discrepancies that we see in the non-sports activities even greater than what already concerned me the first time that this came forward. So I would just appreciate seeing them as a whole before approving them.
I just want to be clear, though, that we're talking about bringing back the extracurricular pay schedule to re-examine and reapprove as a board. That's what we're talking about. I just want to make it clear that that's what we're talking about, so my team knows what we're supposed to do.
It appears that we have multiple questions involved in this issue. On the one hand, Mrs. Van Meer has pointed out that we do not want employees to lose money
right.
of moving from one contract to the next contract year. Necessarily. If there's a design for that, we need to be clear. But as we did not have a design for reducing pay, making people whole at least for their contract, or giving them a raise above what they earned the past year, is one of the issues at hand. A question that has not been answered in this conversation has been, does reinstating the longevity piece, which does create an increase in pay for the coming contract, does it raise it proportionately to in a manner which would be the same as all other contracts were addressed? Or does that manipulation in and of itself create another misalignment? I think the committee might want to examine that. There's a third point at hand that I listened to. It was the issue that was not addressed when we approved the extracurricular athletic contract increases, and that was for the non-athletic. We purposefully and agreed to lay that until a later date, and we would take that issue up independently. But as a whole, this schedule addresses all extracurricular contracts, athletic, non-athletic, activity, and arts. And it may be best that we make certain that we address it as a whole.
I don't believe it's going to change the number that Tina is presenting, and it's not going to affect their pay. It's back pay anyway, no matter when we approve it. So I just feel it's better to look at the whole picture again.
Does the chair of the committee have a recommendation?
I would say I agree with Mark. I don't think that what we're being asked to do tonight is going to change the overall picture. We could easily approve this and then move on to adjust all of the pay rates for the non-athletic side of the board. Because with the pay schedule that we did adopt, we treated everybody the same as they had been getting. We just kind of tried to fit them into a matrix that made sense. So some of those discrepancies just were continued. What we're doing, being asked to do tonight by approving these longevity bonuses, really were envisioned in that matrix originally. So this is kind of just a math exercise here rather than a policy exercise.
Before I ask for a motion, and I will make a suggestion about that motion, we have Mr. Schoolville writing, if you want to support all of the A's at the school, then please re-examine the non-sport salaries. From Coach Bastian, please understand that the cross-country coaches are currently working without contracts due to these numbers needing approval from the board. We only have written assurance of a contract at this time, with nearly half of our season elapsed. Any board member may make a motion with regard to this agenda item if a board member does not believe the board should take action on this item at this time. Tabling is your option.
I make a motion to table this item for review by the extracurricular committee.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Sherman, a second by Mr. Helm, to table this agenda item. Did I hear you say, Mrs. Sherman, until the meeting on the 28th?
Yes, you did.
In doing so, I'm recognizing that that is a long evening with the annual meeting in front. Or did you say the first meeting in October?
That's a good question. My motion will be by the first meeting in October, and that will give the extracurricular committee time to meet and have that discussion.
Mr. Helm is a second. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Sherman, a second by Mr. Helm, to table this agenda item until the first meeting in October.
Comment here, Tina and Garion. Is this going to put a lot of pressure on you guys, or is this feasible?
No, as I said before, the administration has already worked on the recommendation. We came up with a way of giving non-sports related pay using the same concept as you would give a head coach or an assistant coach. We've applied that strategy to the other side of the scale, and we're ready to present that strategy to the committee to see. So that's done and ready to go. I'm not saying people will agree with it or like it, but we're ready to go with it. So we got that. And what I would say to Joy, I think, and to Evelyn, who's responsible for all these contracts, I think what we would do is just go ahead and give our cross-country coaches a contract with the same salary, and then we can come back and revise it so that they have a written contract similar to what we've done with everyone else. That will give them some assurance.
Sounds like we're good for the 8th. Very good.
Thank you. Board members, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Roll call.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you are correct. Mr. Weborg, I appreciate your correction. This is a motion to table. We will consider it by a roll call vote alphabetically, please.
Bremer, aye.
Helm, aye.
Hickey, aye.
Yad, aye.
Pfeiffer, aye.
Sherman, aye.
Weborg, aye.
Thank you. This agenda item is tabled. The 13th item of the agenda this evening is to approve employment of a special education teacher.
Thank you. I am going to turn the mic over to Mr. Mulring, and he is going to go over his recommendation for a new special education teacher. Mr. Mulring?
Yes, I am recommending the hire of Lisa Wing. She is a special ed teacher with 612 licensure in specific learning disabilities, also has the director of instruction and principal licensure. She comes to us most recently from Appleton East High School. There she conducted co-planning and co-teaching, as well as implementing standards-based grading and universal design for learning. She has a number of extracurricular activity experience, including being appointed to the State Superintendent's Council for Special Education. Her references spoke highly of her, her leadership, her willingness to take on new and additional tasks, and also spoke highly of her ability to form relationships with parents and students. Our hiring committee was made up of myself, Brian Allen, and Anna Knapp, Robin Warecki, Ashley Knutson, Becky Meyer, and Elaine Tripp. So I am recommending Lisa Wing for employment as a special education teacher. She does need still to pass our background check.
I move to employ Lisa Wing for the special education teacher position upon a background check, pending a background check.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Hickey, a second by Mrs. Sherman to approve the employment of Lisa Wing as a special education teacher pending a successful background check. Any discussion of this motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
The opposed? The motion passes. The next agenda item, number 14, is to approve employment of an instructional support staff.
Thank you. Mr. Mulring is in charge of support staff hiring as well, so I'm going to turn this over to him and he will talk about his recommendation.
Yes, we interviewed one candidate, Alyssa Emke, for employment as a special education support staff. She has a master's of arts and English literature, has worked for us most recently as a volleyball coach beginning in the year 2013. She comes to us from our Door County community, most recently working in the Peninsula Pulse. She was noted by her references for having a strong connection with students in the coaching realm, and also having both a professional and very both a professional relationship with the school, and also having high quality relationships with students in the community. So I am recommending Alyssa Emke for hire, and she has completed a background check.
Thank you, Mr. Mulring. Is there a motion on this recommendation?
I move to approve the employment of Alyssa Emke as an instructional support staff.
I'll second that.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Sherman, a second by Mrs. Bremer to approve the employment of Alyssa Emke as an instructional support staff. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome home, Ms. Emke. Our 15th agenda item this evening is to approve proposed amendments to policy 2260.03, Title IX, Sexual Harassment.
Thank you. I'm going to turn over the next two items to Mrs. Sherman so she can review with the board the policy, or the committee's recommendation. Mrs. Sherman?
I will be brief with this one as this is our second reading on this, but the Title IX sexual harassment policy, the changes have actually gone into effect, so adopting this policy will just put in writing our compliance to those changes. This policy has did come from our legal team, so we are in complete compliance as well as have all the legal standards. So I have not heard any questions, so I will go ahead and make a motion to approve policy 2260.03, Title IX sexual harassment.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Sherman, a second by Mrs. Bremer, to approve the proposed amendments to policy 2260.03, Title IX sexual harassment. Is there any discussion of this proposal and motion? It's a lengthy read, I will tell you. Having read it again, I'm understanding the language that the policy committee considered and included in this amendment. Any other question or comment about this motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving proposed amendments to policy 2260.03, Title IX sexual harassment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. Before I move to the next agenda item, it's just pleasing to see a chat from a person that we've just approved. Lisa Wing is the teacher, saying how pleased she is to be joining the Gibraltar school staff. She thanks us. We're going to thank her greatly for her work. The next agenda item is to hear first reading of proposed amendments to the following board policies. Mrs. Sherman, this is yours.
Well, I get to be brief on these as well. These policies are coming forward to you because of our change in positions with the departure of Mr. Young and Mr. Mulrain taking over as our Director of Learning. We are updating our policies so that he is our District Compliance Officer, as well as continuing with Mrs. Van Meer in that position as well. And so we just made sure his name is all over this and his correct title is also listed. So that he can take all the responsibility. Or half, I guess. Mrs. Van Meer, you get the other half. So if there weren't other significant changes to these, I can't guarantee you won't see them again as we do more NAOLA updates. But we wanted to get these two, these ones taken care of so that we are we have all that correct. So, and I always welcome emails if anyone has questions in between first and second readings.
Thank you, Mrs. Sherman. As this is a first reading, a hearing of first reading only, the board will not take action this evening. To reiterate what Mrs. Sherman just said, if you have a board member has questions or concerns about the language of these policies, please forward your concerns to her. She will address them as we consider a second reading in a subsequent board meeting. That brings us to item number 17. I'm used to 20s. Item number 17, to approve payment of bills.
I so move.
Second.
I so move.
We have a motion by Mrs. Hickey, a second by Mr. Weborg, to approve the payment of bills as presented. Is there any question a board member or a point of clarification a board member raises regarding the bills as presented? Hearing nothing, all those in favor of approving the payment of bills as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The bills will be paid. Item number 18 is to accept donations. Mrs. Van Meer?
We have four donations tonight. The first one is a set of decodable chapter books with parent and teacher guides for Gibraltar students from author Pamela Brooks. We also have, as I talked about last time, handmade masks for Gibraltar coaches in kindergarten, 8th grade, 10th grade, and 12th grade students from Pamela Good. And we have a telescope from Gibraltar for Gibraltar teachers to use with students from an anonymous donor. And then we have a Dunham's Shoes gift cards and Nicolet Bank gift cards to students in need from the Altrusa International of Door County.
I make a motion to accept donations with thanks.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Mr. Weborg, a second by Mrs. Sherman to accept the donations with thanks. Any conversation or discussion of that motion?
No, but those are really wonderful items. So this is a really, really big heartfelt thanks to those donors for these items for our school.
Thank you, Mrs. Sherman.
Any further discussion? Move to adjourn.
Wait, don't we actually have to approve that?
No, I think we will approve it, Mr. Piatt. All those in favor of accepting the donations, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Piatt.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion, a second to adjourn. We are adjourned. Thank you all for meeting this evening. Let's note the time, please.
Yes, I was going to say the same thing.
8:57.
I was in a rush to get us out of here before 9. That's what the rush was.
You did it.
Thanks, Tim.